K1037 aims to bring Ottawa an informative, community-oriented, and diverse talk show. To ensure a wide range of opinions, K1037 reserves the right to screen calls. Guests' opinions are not necessarily those of the radio station or its management. Now, Dede Wadardo. All of us are talking on the Party Line Talk Show on K1037.
This is the talk show. Well, I butchered it, of course, and I before the holidays, we're just simply the Party Line Talk Show. But before the holidays, we started talking at the radio station about revisiting the whole idea of what the talk show's roots were, which is to talk about having open line, having callers be able to call in, and that's where it was really. That's the name, we're talking.
Yeah.
And how could you be talking if the lines are closed? I remember they had the messages, but it's not without its challenges. But that's what's up for the new year, and more and more. Well, listen for the changes during this hour as they become activated over the next little while into the new year. Which is, by the way, everybody, happy new year! In my lifetime, I never thought I would actually see the year 2018, let alone even 2000. Supposed to be a big change. Anyways, this is the first show of the new year, auspicious. It is the update for the 207 Longhouse. So joining me in studio are Kenneth Deer and Jody Ohm. And so the midwinter is coming up, and we'll talk about that too. But one of the things I thought maybe we could spend some time talking about is the passing of Bob Antone. And we could spend a fair bit of time just sort of reminiscing or talking about what his connection to Ganawagi and Ganasatage was, his role within the Confederacy, and so I don't know who wants to take a lead on that, Joe.
Yeah, okay, I can start.
Yeah,
we were on the air last night in Ganadoga's program. And we talked about Bob there, and it's worth repeating some of the things that we said. Our first meeting with Bob was in 1982 or thereabouts. We had actually I was on the school committee at the time. We engaged Mike Myers to come and do some workshops for the various schools, and also for the school committee. And he brought Bob in from time to time to work with him and to work with us, and that's when we got to know the two of them. And Johnny Moore came in from time to time as well. And the three of them have been blood brothers, you might say.
Yeah.
They all worked at Augustin Oates.
At Owl's Head.
Yeah, and it was a tremendous asset to our communities to have that publication. it achieved worldwide recognition. But anyway, Bob and Mike both did a lot for our community during the startup of our school's system, as we know it now. In 1990, the chiefs at Oneida sent Bob and Bruce and Mike, for that matter, to come and help us in the crisis that we were engaged in. And with the help of Bob and Bruce Elijah, helped calm the waters as far as the treatment center was concerned, so that we didn't do anything rash and to provoke a shooting war, mm-hmm. which was highly probable in the case of the way that the Army had been closing in on a daily basis. So Bruce was instrumental in bringing the people down to their spiritual level and helped them get through without anybody getting injured, other than one who was attacked by the Army.
Yeah.
Bullpen. No. Bullpen was... Yeah. No, I think. Oh, anyway, yeah. Somebody will tell us later. It's, you know, it's been almost 30 years now, so it's
Spud Wrench.
Spud Wrench. Yeah, he was the one that was attacked and very seriously. Anyway, Mike took the position of working from the outside, and I left the treatment center. During the negotiations with Barassa, and by the time I got there, he had pulled a pin. So I worked with Mike to try to find ways to get our people out of the treatment center safely, and certainly without any prison sentences for that. And also later on during our trial. Bruce was our main witness on our behalf, and he gave the jury our affinity for the land based on our spirituality. It was a very emotional testimony. It took all morning. And as a result, the prosecution didn't even want to touch it. They didn't want to cross-examine Bruce. And so the next day, it was Bob Antone's turn, and he gave the political aspect of why we were there and why we were helping out the people of Canasadaga. And during his testimony, he was being cross-examined now by the prosecution, and the prosecutor asked him, "Did you see anybody with rifles?" He says, "Yes." "Anybody with pistols?" "Yeah." "Knives?" "Yeah." "Anybody have bow and arrows?" And Bob says to the prosecutor, "What the hell kind of a racist question is that?" And prosecutor says, "It's not a racist question." He says, "I just need to know." And Bob kept at him, you know, started asking him questions, and really started to counsel this guy for his racist attitudes. And the guy was responding and answering Bob's pointed questions, and all of a sudden he woke up and said, "Wait, I asked the questions." And the jury roared laughing at him. So that was Bob's modus operandi, you might say, because when I first brought him into Oka, we stopped at Oka Park because that's as far as we could go, and then we stopped at Mrs. Cree. I don't know who's her first name. Linda or something like that. Anyway.
But that sounds familiar, Linda.
It could have been. Anyway, we stopped at her house, which is right near the park.
Yeah.
And he had a number to call, you know, for the Army to get permission to go in. So I'm sitting next to him, and he's talking to this guy on the other end, and you never know who's on the other end. It could have been a private or even a civilian for all we knew. And so he was obviously giving Bob a hard time. And then Bob started counseling this guy on the phone. I could hear it, just Bob's conversation. And I'm laughing like hell because I know what he's doing to this guy. And then finally he was able to get in to switch off with Terry Dockstetter was there. And so that was the game that was going on. We would relieve Bob with Terry and Johnny Mohawk.
This was inside at the treatment center?
Yeah. So Bob was there at the end when they left the treatment center, and then that big fight occurred with the... So Bruce and Bob were both carrying the Hadoui masks, and which some of them were confiscated.
Really?
And one of the SQ officers, after the crisis was over for, you know, a couple of weeks, I got a call from one of the SQ officers and says, I have a mask and we need somebody to come and get it. So I went and I picked it up, and it belonged to Oneida. So there's still one mask out there doing its job. So we don't know where it is, but we don't know and who's got it in their basement or whatever as a trophy. But I know
be causing that, disruption.
That mask is doing its work. As you can see what's happening with the police today and all throughout since 1990. So, and then after 90, we kept in touch with Bob, and he was always helping out our people. Whenever we were in trouble or we needed help, he wouldn't hesitate to come and work with us, and Mike would come from time to time as well, and he did a lot to deal with our personal demons, you might say, and draw that out of us so that we knew how to heal ourselves.
Yeah, if I hear you, first of all, you're listening to K103's Party Line Talk Show, but it's the Watara talk show. And my guests are Joe Tiom, who's been talking, and Kenneth Deer, who will be talking. I just to refresh my memory, Joe. At that point in time, is there, how close to the date of the leaving the treatment center was all of that?
That was September 26th.
Yeah, cause I remember being at the park, and there was apparently a Russell Means was there, and there was a plan to sort of have a big march, and then bring people out with that. But there wasn't enough people. But there was over 100 SQ cars there, and leading up to that point in time, the Army. There were all kinds of provocateurs out there, including the Army. Bikers, whatever, people trying to provoke the situation, which would have been, you know, a real tinderbox mm-hmm. at that point in time. It's a remarkable time period. Those guys did play. I obviously was living in Thunder Bay at the time. I was watching CBC a lot. And they had the press conferences in Dorval or whatever. I mean, I remember seeing Bob. I remember seeing mm-hmm. Bruce. Along with other people too, for the council and that. But it always occurred to me that they had a calming influence on.
Oh yeah, definitely. And Also, at Dorval and other locations where we set up our base of operations, Bob would also be able to come out and help strategize and work with Mike and myself and others. And we had a meeting with representatives from across Canada, chiefs and other activists from across Canada, and we met in Dorval. We had a big room, and we're trying to get the AFN grand chief at the time was
Erasmus.
George Erasmus.
Yeah, I think it was George Erasmus.
Yeah. No.
Well, let me have
My memory's going.
1980, Del Riley.
Anyway,
way back.
We try to get him to make withdraw a statement that he had made, which was damaging to our cause, and we sent Conrad Seawee, who was the regional chief in Quebec, and we sent him with a message that to get him to change his statement, and so he was out for an hour, and then he comes back in, and he says, "Well, you know, I couldn't get you." But then we all blew up, and Conrad took the brunt of our anger. But other than the 1990 engagement that Bob was involved in, he also continued to work with us and work with education here, but the last thing that he did here in Ganawaga was hold a decolonization workshop. Mm-hmm. Him and Hill.
About 2 years ago.
And it was quite successful, very emotional as far as...
Yeah.
It was held at the Longhouse. There was a lot of people there. Mm-hmm. And that was his involvement. It's another thing as far as emotion and dealing with our colonization, the effect of colonization on us. And the other thing that he had been doing, which was very important as well, is he was coordinator of the External Relations Committee, and Kenneth was the international arm of that committee, and Bob moved a lot of our issues forward quite skillfully, and dealing with United States and Canadian government officials. So we have to pick all that up. He had so many irons in the fire, now we have to divide all those initiatives amongst our people.
You're listening to K103's Party Line Talk Show, Deadwood with our talk show. If you're just tuning in, my guests for the hour, Joe Diome and Kenneth Deere, representing the Longhouse on 207. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to carry on our discussion, and then we'll move on also to the Midwinter Festival, which is very soon to begin. So don't go away. We'll be right back after these